Hi, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. My name is Betsy Bevan, and Lisa asked me to be a guest host today. So I chose my guest, and I have some wonderful shows for you this morning. One of my guests is Virginia Willis. Virginia, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, you are quite accomplished. I'm going to introduce you here. Virginia is the author of Bon Appetit, Y'all, a recipe and stories from three generations of Southern cooking from 10 Speed Press in 2008. Her articles have appeared in Country Living, Family Fun, and Eating Well. A graduate of L'Académie de Cuisine and École de Cuisine La Varenne, she previously honed her attention to detail as the kitchen director for Martha Stewart Living Television, where she supervised the food segments for the Emmy Award-winning television show. With MSL-TV, Virginia was also responsible for preparing private meals and events for Martha and her guests, including, among others, President Clinton, Aretha Franklin, and Julia Childs. As executive producer for Epicurious on the Discovery Channel, she traveled the world taping fantastic stories about food, from harvesting capers in the shadow of a smoldering volcano to making authentic mustard in Dijon. For more information about Virginia, please visit www.virginiawillis.com. Welcome, Virginia.
Thank you. You make me tired reading all that.
I know. Well, no, I really enjoy it, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, what wonderful experience you've had working and traveling and cooking for so many people, many of whom are, you know, well-known. You must feel really blessed.
Oh, I feel so fortunate. I love what I do. I'm a firm believer in loving what you do and doing what you love, and I am right smack dab in the middle of it. I love to cook and I love to write.
Well, you know, I think it was really fortuitous that we met recently up at Stonewall Kitchen School in York, Maine. Did you enjoy your experience there?
Oh, I love it. They do the best job at Stonewall. I'm a huge fan, and I was there last August and just was there last weekend, and they've asked me back for next August, and as long as they'll have me, I can't wait to go because it's a beautiful kitchen, and the staff does a great job, and it's just fantastic. It's so pretty in that area of the countries, too.
Yeah, and you were there with your mom, right?
My mom came out with me.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I've been reading your cookbook, Bon Appetit, Y'all, and I'll tell you, it reads like a cooking novel. I can't put it down. It's not only beautiful, you know, beautifully crafted and to look at. The pictures are just gorgeous, but it's really fun to read. I think it reflects so much of who you are, you know, your Southern roots, your wit, your humor, all fusing with a very clear respect and experience you have with French cooking. I think it's
right.
You know, quite special. Can you just tell us a little about what inspired you to write this book and how your grandmother and mother are so central to the work?
Well, I mean, there are pictures of me making biscuits as my grandmother, you know, 3 years old, and I've always gravitated towards the kitchen. I've always loved to cook, and my grandmother was hugely important to me and just the love of my life. And my mom, as you know, meeting her last weekend, she and I are really good friends. And I actually came up with the sort of the germ of the idea started at the Food Writers Conference at the Greenbrier. The woman that I worked for in France, Anne Willen, she does La Varenne at the Greenbrier every spring. And there's the Food Writers Conference. And I went there, and it's one of those things that just made perfect sense because it's exactly who I am. I mean, you can hear I'm Southern. I'm very proud of my Southern heritage, and I'm very proud of being from the South. I have this huge respect for French cooking and French cuisine. And Bon Appetit, Y'all really does sum it up. That's pretty much who I am in a nutshell. It's just this, what my food represents. And even my personality, really. I mean, it's just this combination of, you know, simple country cooking and French technique. And people kept asking me about writing a cookbook because I'd worked for so many people helping them with their own. And then one day I just did it.
Yep. Well, I tell you, when I opened it up, I went right to the grits, rice, pasta, and potato chapter.
Yeah.
I just couldn't wait to read about all of those. And, you know, I just love the comment that you wrote. Your grandmother said that, this was about you, that you must like potatoes so much because your father was from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so funny. I was laughing, and, you know, I mean, you really get a very beautiful sense of who she is. You know, I think
she was a very strong woman. I know. I can't remember if I wrote it in there or not, but my friend Mark did comment that, that at least my daddy was a real Yankee, you know, being from Massachusetts and you know, not like
right.
from North Dakota or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No, that's really true.
And
then
like
the comment,
real,
I think she was in Florida one time and came back and she said, everybody's old down there. I mean,
you really
get a nice sense of, you know, who
yeah.
she is. Well, one of your recipes, it's hard to even, you know, there's so many wonderful ones here, but one of the things that caught my eye was the $20,000 rice pilaf. Where did that name come from?
Well, as you know, I've always cooked. I cook with my grandmother. I cook with my mother. I cooked, you know, love to cook, but I never, ever could cook rice. And it took me going to culinary school to learn how to cook rice. And at the time when I went to culinary school, it was $20,000 a year. And so that's why I call it the $20,000 rice pilaf, because I had to go off to culinary school to learn how to make rice. And it's the pilaf technique. And that basically, as you know, I'm sure, basically some sort of fat, oil, or butter is in a pan, and then aromatics are added. And then essentially the rice is sort of lightly toasted in the fat, which seals the starch on the outside of each grain of rice, resulting in individual, distinct grains of rice. Whereas before, I never could get it right, and it always turned out for like lumpy oatmeal type gruel. And so the $20,000
yep.
rice pilaf it is.
Well, I think that's, you know, pretty valuable, because I think a lot of people don't know how to cook rice.
Right.
And, you know, here it is, nice, simple recipe, but $20,000 later, it took to learn it, and that's okay.
Well, they can just buy my book for $32.50.
That's right.
$20 grand on the rice recipe. But you said it exactly. My recipes are quite simple. They're for normal people, quote unquote, mere mortals, not chef
yep.
people. And
right.
it's just
mm-hmm.
using good ingredients and treating them
yep.
respectfully.
Sure. Well, as a result of going to the school, I believe you were fortunate enough to spend some time with Julia Childs. What was that experience like? I'm sure it's hard to summarize in a minute, but what impressed you the most about Julia?
Well, when I was living and working in France, she would come to visit, and it was always just amazing because she was the reason I was in France to begin with, because my mother cooked for Mastering the Art of French Cooking. And, you know, I watched Julia Child growing up on television, watching PBS on the weekends. And so to get to meet her was an amazing thing in and of itself, but then to be able to be in the kitchen with her and get to learn from her. And I have enormous, because of the allegiance and love that I have for my grandmother, I have an enormous amount of respect for older people and their experiences. So it was truly a life gift to get to be with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. What did you learn the most from her? Was there any particular experience, whether it was either an interrelationship, you know, relating to her, or a particular recipe? Was there something in particular, you know, that you learned the most from by being around her?
Well, I think the thing that struck me the most, and this was actually at a conference, this wasn't in France, but it was a result of working in France. So once again, going back to the Food Writers Conference at the Greenbrier, Julia stood up and asked a question. She was never hesitant about asking a question. I mean, everyone else was basically in awe of her and falling at her feet. And she was open and shared information and was basically about, you know, the rising tide that floats all boats. And she got up and asked a question about writing and the business of writing, and I think it was something regarding an advance.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she, at her stage in life,
mm-hmm.
at her age and at her level of experience and at her level of superiority, frankly, got up in front of, you know, 100, 125-plus people and was talking about the nuts and the bolts, the business of writing, that made a huge impression on me. And I try to, in my work, with working with interns or working with other people, I try to be free and sharing with information, because if it's good, if it's all about what's good for everybody.
Yes.
I don't work in a competitive sort of environment. I try to help people. I like to be helped, and I try to help. I think that's something that I take away from Julia Child.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a very generous point of view in a field that can be sometimes very competitive and kind of over the top.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate that. So let me ask you this. A lot of people really have no idea what goes into producing a cooking show. They see the final product. Some of it's entertaining, some of it's informative, but they have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. Can you tell us what was the biggest challenge and maybe reward of doing Martha Stewart's show? I mean, the amount of detail every day you must have had to put into it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. My first job cooking was on a TV cooking show working with Natalie Dupree. And then I went to France and then came back and worked with Martha Stewart. And I've basically produced cooking shows on everything from, you know, sawhorses with plywood boards in a hallway to, multi-moneyed kitchen with Martha. I think the thing is that with Martha, when I was with her, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, someone's got to put that salt in the bowl. Someone's got to make that cake. Coming hot out of the oven. Someone's got, you know, and we were taping like 8 to 10 segments a day. So,
oh wow!
If it's one recipe, then basically
8 to 10 a day. Oh my god!
Right. And
wow.
So if it's one recipe, it needs to be probably mise en place or prepared in steps, approximately 4 times. So one recipe, if you're making say a recipe for tomato soup, then you basically have to set up the tomato soup 4 times. One for the final product, one is when it's at 30 minutes, one is to set up, and one's a backup.
So yes.
If you're doing 8 to 10 segments a day, multiply that times 4, and that's 32 to 40 recipes of tomato soup, which in and of itself is a lot of groceries. So
there's
so much that goes on behind the scenes. But working for Martha was an incredible opportunity. And I'm actually calling you. We're actually speaking. I'm in Florida right now, staying with my friend who was my boss when I was at Martha Stewart. So I made some really good friends while I was there.
Yeah. And so what would you say was the biggest reward of, being to work with her and to do this?
Martha really does like to learn something new every day, and her attention to detail. The attention to detail and the emphasis on doing things right and doing things perfectly is aspirational for many people, and aspirational for Martha and aspirational for me. And I think that's the thing that I gained. That, and of course, like I mentioned, the dear friendships that I gained while working there. But just that emphasis on doing things the right way.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let me ask you this. If somebody is just beginning to, say, get interested in cooking and learning how to cook and, maybe taking a class here and there and so forth, what would be your advice to them? I mean, what would you say to them in terms of, because I think there's a beginning groundswell of people who want to eat better, they want to take care of themselves, they want to begin to do that in an age where everything is very fast food, fast moving, agribusiness oriented and all that, and there is a consciousness that's coming in about this. What would you say to them?
I think the first thing would be to start with the ingredients and try to buy the best ingredients possible to support their local farmers and their local food systems. The food's going to taste better. And then my sort of take on that is to just treat those ingredients with respect and do as little to them as possible not to mess them up. And then in terms of resources, I think that going to cooking classes like at Stonewall or there are various cooking classes around, to take that. And then also, and finally perhaps, to get some good books. As a cookbook author, I take great pride in testing my recipes and sort of providing fundamentals and technique, and I think that that's important. a lot of times people will get recipes off the internet, and it's only as good as the source. So I'd recommend, you know, some basic technique books and just start small and build.
Yeah, right. And I think the thing that's really wonderful, getting back to your cookbooks, is that they're simply laid out, the recipes. You also have short little tidbits that you're writing about either your experience with your grandmother, your mother, or about the actual, you know, vegetables or butter beans.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a whole thing there. And then also, you know, some comments about French techniques. You keep it very simple but very accessible.
Right.
So I think that that's, you know, that's a really a wonderful thing to offer people. So do you have another cookbook coming up at some point, or what's happening?
I am. I'm with my friend Claire, who was my boss at Martha Stewart, and she was the she's a pastry chef. And so I'm down here visiting her, and we are working on the dessert chapter together.
I see.
Yes, I'm working on that. It's going to be called Basic to Brilliant, y'all.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
I'm really excited about it. It's 150 recipes, much like the first book, but each recipe will have a short paragraph of either a recipe, a presentation tip, or a technique on how to transform that basic recipe into something brilliant. So it's still very accessible, but each recipe will have a variation on how to make it more chef-inspired, like something one might find in a restaurant.
Yeah, I see. Very good. Well, that will be an exciting moment to have another book coming up. Can you tell us how people can contact you?
I think the best way for people to contact me is to visit my website. It's www.virginiawillis.com, and I have a lot of fun on Facebook and Twitter, and I have a blog. I just put up a new blog post yesterday, and if people would like to reach out to me, they can find me there, and I'm looking forward to meeting them.
Well, thank you very much, Virginia, for taking time out of your busy day. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. So bon appetit, y'all.
Okay. I'm Betsy Bevan, and thank you all for listening in today.